From South Dakota Public Broadcasting, this is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Josh Chilson in Sioux Falls. Members of the Republican Party say the primary election is potentially a big one for competing interests in the state legislature. That's clear by big spending and the advertisements everywhere you look. Jackson Dirks reports.
On Tuesday, there are 50 competitive legislative races across South Dakota. All but one of those competitive primaries are Republican races. Competitive as in there are more Republican candidates than there are spots on the ballot for a district seat. So it's up to voters to decide who they want to represent their party in the November election. This comes amid an already existing divide in the state legislature's Republican supermajority. Some say this election begs a question.
Whether the Republican Party is Ronald Reagan's Republican Party or Donald Trump's Republican Party.
That's Lee Schoenbeck, former Republican Senate pro tem. He references a party conversation much of the nation is grappling with and something that came to a head in South Dakota during the 2024 primary election. That's when a property rights anti-pipeline movement spread across the state. In the 24 primary election, Republican voters ousted many lawmakers who voted for a law that critics said took away local authority and empowered pipeline companies, particularly a CO2 pipeline proposed by Iowa-based Summit Carbon Solutions. That created a rift in the party between what Schoenbeck calls the ultra-conservative faction of the party and the moderate faction. While that rift has almost always existed, the past 2 years it's been clear in the legislature by split votes. That 24 primary saw the lowest voter turnout since 2000. Some argue a higher turnout could help moderate candidates. Schoenbeck doesn't think so.
There is a perception that the low turnout 2 years ago caused only those most ultra-conservatives, including a fair number of what I would just describe as crazies. I don't think it's fair to use the label conservative, to turn out, and that if you broaden the turnout, it changes the makeup of the people at the ballot box. I'm not sure that's true. I'm not sure the Republican Party is Ronald Reagan's Republican Party anymore.
The former Republican majority whip says he's no longer sure that majority exists.
I just look at people I know and things they post on Facebook, and your Ronald Reagan normal Republican conservatives are obviously much, much in the minority these days.
A rematch of the 24 primary and the Reagan-Trump factions, as Schoenbeck puts it, is set for June 2nd. Millions of dollars are being spent to push candidates to the general election ballot. 10 Republican lawmakers who were ousted in 24 are returning. One of the fundraisers last election who saw success was Scott Odenbach. He's the current House Majority Leader. Odenbach chairs a political action committee, a committee used to pool donor funds for political purposes, called Liberty Tree PAC. Candidates supported by Liberty Tree PAC had about a 73% success rate in 2024. Odenbach's hoping for a similar success rate this year. Liberty Tree spent over $50,000 on candidates and committees. Odenbach sent SDPB statements saying, quote, "The conservative coalition we have been building since 2022 with the help of Liberty Tree PAC has been responsible for historic policy wins that have helped secure the future of South Dakota in the face of unprecedented threats to our way of life." The Spearfish Republican adds that he's proud of what that coalition has accomplished and that, quote, "Until Liberty Tree PAC began helping with funding and strategy, there was no organized effort to build a governing coalition of thoughtful conservatives." Some of the candidates Odenbach's PAC is funding have been the targets of advertisements and posts on social media that oppose their stances. PAC and Heat 2.0 is one of those groups. The PAC has focused its attention to social media, posting AI-generated attacks on candidates in that faction some call ultra-conservative. Some candidates who've been subject to attacks are supported by Odenbach's PAC. The face behind that PAC is former state lawmaker Deb Peters, though she says others are involved as well. Peters says the group hopes to draw attention to some of the, quote, crazy votes in Peer.
There's a lot of things that were discussed in the last 2 years. Does it make sense? If it doesn't make sense, why doesn't it make sense? Nobody's talking about these issues. So let's talk about these issues. Let's have a conversation. Let's bring them to the forefront. Let's talk about child marriage. Let's talk about abduction of children. Let's talk about tax policy. It's not a sexy topic. Just kind of call attention to some of these votes.
The PAC predominantly targeted candidates on certain voting records on various bills, like some of the bills Peters mentioned. She says that revealed many of the candidates voting on those bills were largely what she calls one-issue candidates.
you're going to do it right, you have to care about all of the issues. You can't just care about that one issue. We need people to step up that care and have the experience to learn a lot of data very quickly and make a decision. Right now, we have a bunch of people that won 2 years ago on a one issue race that was decided based on one issue. And then we ended up with chaos the last 2 years.
The tug of war between Republican factions will be decided Tuesday. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
State law enforcement officials say they expect charges to be filed soon in connection to the death of a 14-year-old Sioux Falls girl. Makenda Wendell was reported missing on March 13th. Her body was found several days later in rural Brookings County. Attorney General Marty Jackley says he expects charges to be filed sometime in June. So far, authorities have been tight-lipped on the investigation, saying they don't want to compromise the case. A South Dakota man convicted in the death of his girlfriend is sentenced to 20 years in prison. 60-year-old John Mitchell of Sioux Falls previously pleaded guilty to a manslaughter charge. Prosecutors say Mitchell severely beat Carrie Ann Coyle in an incident in October of 2024. She later died from her injuries. Mitchell was charged with murder, but that was reduced to manslaughter as part of a plea deal. Recent rains brought some much-needed green to the Black Hills. At the same time, the state fire meteorologist says don't be fooled. Western South Dakota is still a tinderbox. CJ Keen has more.
There's a serious water deficit West River, and it's being felt most acutely in the Black Hills. Ahead of the America 250 4th of July celebration, fireworks and tourists have firefighters worried. Darren Claybo is the state fire meteorologist. He says that dusty, lime-green grass color can be deceiving.
There's a saying in the drought world. You don't know you're in a drought until you look around and you're like, wow, we're in a drought, right? It's the same situation we're in right now. You don't really realize you're in a bad fire situation until you look around and you go, wow, we're in a really bad fire season.
He says early on into the year, the firefighters are already tired after battling several large or fast-moving blazes in the Black Hills. That means taking fire concerns seriously as summer camping and holidays begin.
Looking outside and just seeing kind of this dusty green, it's unnerving. Everyone needs to be fire wise. You know, it's America's 250th birthday. We're expecting a lot of tourists to come into town. So spread the word to anybody that's not local that, you know, Black Hills, it's a fire adapted ecosystem. It likes fire, but we don't want to be the source for those ignitions.
Claybo's estimates say the Rapid City area needs well above average precipitation in June to avoid a potentially historic fire season.
On average, ballpark Rapid City gets 3.5 inches of rain in the month of June. We're going to need that to be up like 4 to 6 inches of rain to really kind of break through the situation that we're in. Highly unlikely, I will put it that way.
May and June are historically the area's wettest months. Drought conditions are extending across most of South Dakota as well, with a small exception in the northwest and north-central part of the state. I'm SDPB's CJ Keen in Rapid City.
The National Park Service says fireworks are not allowed in the Black Hills within the Black Hills Fire Protection District. The latest stats from the U.S. Drought Monitor are out, and they have big implications for producers and agriculture. Jackson Dirks reports.
The majority of South Dakota is experiencing dry conditions, aside from areas of northwestern parts of the state. The Southwest is being hit the hardest, with portions of 7 counties in the area experiencing extreme drought. Josh McClure is the head of market advisory with the Farmers Business Network. He took a look at the monitor from an ag perspective.
Still nearly 40% of the state is in severe drought, with 61% being in moderate drought. But really kind of the most important thing is that the most productive area, that southeast corner, is completely within severe drought, 100% in severe or even extreme drought.
That hasn't prevented farmers from getting seed in the ground. For example, over 90% of South Dakota has corn planted and 77% soybeans planted. Both are ahead of the 5-year average. However, it does affect the actual growing. McClure explains, referring to stands or the crops that have emerged successfully.
The issue, though, comes with a stand, comes with the quality of the plants that are kind of coming out. There is still decent emergence. That emergence is ahead of pace along with the planting. But we're really having some concerns about what that's going to be looking like moving forward, as a lot of folks are telling us that they're not actually seeing good stands out there, that it's spotty and that there's going to be likely some need for replant.
That could certainly have an impact on many producers' abilities to have a profitable crop or even break even. McClure says he's not expecting positive results this year if conditions remain the same.
For most producers, the key to profitability is usually production, overproducing, producing above their averages. And unfortunately, at least at this point, that doesn't look to be in the cards, at least based on what we're seeing so far. The conditions being what they are, we're really kind of expecting this to be an average at best, and quite possibly a below average type of year.
The state's drought task force monitor was activated earlier this month. MSDPB's Jackson Dirks.
That's your daily news update. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at SDPB News. And stay up to date on the latest headlines at sdpb.org/news. Thank you for following listener-supported SDPB.